Well, we got a big show for you today. Beautiful weekend. The sun is going to be out. It's going to be a beautiful day. We got lots to talk about. We'll get to President Trump and Prime Minister May and NATO and Putin. And, boy, did you watch that Weasley, slimy Strzok, that corrupt FBI agent testifying. Speaking of corrupt, we'll get to Governor Cuomo. We'll get to Netflix. What an amazing, amazing accomplishment with the Emmys yesterday. Hey, you won't believe what restaurants are closing. And we'll get to plastic straws and all that stuff. So the president in London, it's been controversial, as is everything with the president. You know, he just says the truth. And that is something they're not used to hearing in the political world. A president just saying what he thinks, being totally candid, totally blunt. It shakes up everything. So yesterday in an interview, talking about Prime Minister May, and he said, among other things, that she, you know, she's not handling Brexit well, and if there's a soft exit, he won't do trade with her. It was controversial. He called her opponent in the race, or the minister who quit. Said he'd make a great prime minister, but apparently, you're not going to believe this. The media, the fake news, apparently twisted his remarks a little. Which, when he met Prime Minister May, he first of all apologized. She said, "Oh, don't worry." She said, "It's the news media. I don't trust them ever." She said it in private, not in public, like he does. That she doesn't trust them at all. So apparently, they got along very well. They had a lunch. They had a this. And they just had a press conference not long ago, just about an hour ago. At a press conference where they were very friendly. And then they both agreed, May and Trump, to take four questions each from the media. But guess who tried to ask the first question? CNN, that awful Jim Acosta, the fakest of the fake news guys, this Jim Acosta, tried to ask the first question. Listen to the president handle it.
John Roberts, go ahead, John. No. John Roberts, go ahead. CNN's fake news. I don't take questions. I don't take questions from CNN. CNN is fake news. I don't take questions from CNN. John Roberts of Fox. Let's go to a real network.
There you go. And of course, everybody goes crazy. They're not used to this kind of bluntness, honesty. And I think that's a good policy from now on. No more CNN. And throw MSNBC into that list. No more questions from, although they don't really have an MSNBC reporter. There is no such thing. They use the NBC news reporter. So that's why it's just CNN. There's no such thing as an MSNBC reporter. But it's a good policy. No more CNN questions. So the president meets the queen today. Okay. All right. I guess that's okay. Listen, in those kind of situations, I've seen him in those situations. He can be very formal, very polite. He's a different kind of guy. He handles those very well. He does that usually in private with somebody older, very distinguished. It's yes, sir, no, sir. Believe it or not, he can do that. I've seen him do it. Now, here he's talking about the queen.
My mother loved the queen. She thought the queen was tremendous. Anytime the queen was on television, my mother wanted to watch it.
And he'll tell her that, and I don't know what they'll talk about. The big meeting, though, comes after all of this when he meets with Putin. A lot of controversy over he shouldn't meet with Putin alone. What they're going to do, they'll have the meeting with the whole group, advisors on both sides. But before that, there'll probably be a one-hour meeting alone with Putin. And everybody advising, you're not supposed to do that. You know, all the official swamp bureaucrats, you can't do this. That's not the way it's done. You can't be alone in the room with Putin. It'll just be them and the two interpreters. But that's what the president likes to do. Develop a relationship, get some sort of feel for the guy, see if you can establish some kind of something with him. I mean, he's not naive. He knows you can't trust Putin. But that's what will happen. Now, these State Department bureaucrats will tell you, you can't do this. You have to have 6 months of advance work. You have to have the whole thing laid out. But remember, these are the State Department guys who have failed every time. Never have they succeeded at anything. It was always the cleverness of a Reagan or somebody in those one-on-ones that figured it out. State Departments, you leave it to them, they accomplish nothing. It's like this NATO stuff. Everybody, every president, Obama, Bush, especially Obama, he made that speech over and over again about NATO's got to pay their fair share. We're supposed to pay 2% of our GDP. They're not paying it. Obama always made that speech, but with a wink and a nod, and he never tried to collect. So President Trump actually trying to collect the NATO money. actually laying down the law. You're going to pay it or we're going to bust this thing up. So they all panicked and agreed to pay it. I noticed Stephen Colbert last night had to lie about this. Bob Menendez lied about this. I was watching him on TV in some interview. They just out and out lie, Colbert and Menendez. But this is the lie. Colbert said on the show last night, President Trump's trying to take credit for accomplishing something, but it's a lie. He didn't accomplish anything. All we got is the same thing we already had, which is they paid 2%. Nothing different. Well, that's not true. We of course, that was the contractual deal, 2%. But they were never paying it. So they finally have agreed to pay it. So it's not true that nothing was accomplished. It's quite an accomplishment. Hey, the big exciting television yesterday was Peter Strzok. This is this disgusting, weaselly, slimy swamp snake, this Peter Strzok, this corrupt FBI agent. You know, there's a bunch of them. There's McCabe, there's Strzok, there's Page, and they were all right there with Comey, all up there on the seventh floor, all surrounding him. So if they're all corrupt and they were running this evil cabal, you can figure Comey was a part of this. They're going to be in big trouble. The IG report has been damaging to all of them. And the IG, the Inspector General, it's an Obama appointee, pretty objective guy, and it's pretty much uncovered all the sleazy, slimy stuff they were doing. Strzok is, as you can see if you watched it, very egotistical, very cocky guy, loves to talk. He thinks, put me on the stand, I'll talk my way out of anything. And he kept trying and trying. It didn't do very well. Those text messages, you know, we're going to stop Trump, we're going to get him, we're going to do him in, we'll make sure he's never president. He explained that one stupid excuse after another. Well, I didn't mean me, I meant the American public. Nobody was buying his nonsense.
In terms of the text that we will stop it, you need to understand that was written late at night, off the cuff, and it was in response to a series of events that included then-candidate Trump insulting the immigrant family of a fallen war hero. And my presumption...
Now, that's the part that you got to look at. That never happened. Now, Trump never insulted a Gold Star family. It never happened. That's why whenever they mention it, they never show you the video. There was never an attack on a Gold Star family. They remember Hillary dragged out this Gold Star family and they called Trump every name on earth. They said the worst things about Trump. And then the one time he was asked to respond, he said, quote, they're wrong. They're wrong. They don't know me. And I noticed she didn't talk. How come she didn't say anything? Was she not allowed to? That was the whole thing. There was never an attack on a Gold Star family. Now, I can understand the average person being fooled by that. If all the lying media, the Lester Holtz, the CNNs, if they all kept telling you there was an attack, I could see where people would believe it. But this guy's supposed to be an FBI agent. He's supposed to know better. He's supposed to be an investigator. So he's claiming it was all because of this attack, only the attack never happened.
Based on that horrible, disgusting behavior, that the American population would not elect somebody demonstrating that behavior to be president.
Now, he keeps talking about this behavior as if he attacked a Gold Star family. I think somebody should go to Strzok and say, we'll give you $10 million if you can produce a video of that attack. Because there is no, it never happened.
President of the United States, it was in no way, unequivocally, any suggestion that me, the FBI, would take any action.
You hear that tone of voice, that pompous, cocky, I could talk my way out of anything.
Action whatsoever to improperly impact the electoral process for any candidate.
Yeah. Now, he just kept doing that. It was riveting television. Now, you can always tell when a liberal, when a Democrat is lying and they're caught and they have no excuse. They'll start screaming Putin. Years ago, it was Halliburton. They went over there in trouble. They just yelled Halliburton. Now they just yell Putin. So he tried to claim that that catching a corrupt FBI agent helps Putin somehow. Listen to this.
I strongly believe today's hearing is just another victory notch in Putin's belt and another milestone in our enemy's campaign to tear America apart.
Yeah, so if you catch the guy doing something wrong, it's helping Putin.
I can assure you, Mr. Chairman, at no time in any of these texts did those personal beliefs ever enter into the realm of any action I took. Furthermore, this isn't just me sitting here telling you. You don't have to take my word for it. At every step, at every investigative decision, there are multiple layers of people above me, the assistant director, executive assistant director, deputy director, and director of the FBI, and multiple layers of people below me.
Yeah, but what he forgets to point out, they were all in on it with him, McCabe and this whole bunch. And there are times where he took action. For instance, when they found the Hillary emails, on the Anthony Weiner laptop. He delayed doing anything about that for weeks, trying to hold it till after the election. The only reason he couldn't, it had been discovered by the New York U.S. Attorney's Office. And those guys threatened to blow the whistle if he didn't do something. So they pushed it, not him. Hey, now, there were times where the Republicans were terrible. This Louis Gohmert, how do you say his name? Gohmert? Terrible. Awful. I mean, hey, listen, this Strzok is a bad guy. He's a liar. He's crooked. He's corrupt. Sleazy guy. He was having an affair with the other one, Lisa Page. They're both married, both cheating on their spouses. That's terrible. But I don't think it had any place in the hearing. But this Louis Gohmert, whatever his name is, brought it up. It was an ugly moment. Then the Democrat in the back started screaming that he shouldn't have brought this up. But she's probably right, but listen to this exchange.
And I can't help but wonder, when I see you looking there with a little smirk, how many times did you look so innocent into your wife's eye and lie to her about Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, this is outrageous.
The credibility of a witness is always an issue. Mr. Chairman, this is intolerable harassment
of the witness.
What's wrong with that? You need your medication.
All right. Well, it was great television. It was excellent. So I don't know what's going to happen with all this, but there should be a second special counsel to look into this corruption. One of the things that came out in all of this, it's pretty clear that the dossier, they knew it was fake. The whole thing was fake. It was leaked to them from the flimsiest people, Hillary PR people. He was asked at one point, when did you find out Hillary paid for this fake dossier? And he said, the FBI will not allow me to answer that. So, listen, a special counsel. That's what you need. Democrats will oppose it. How could they oppose it? They on record is saying they love special counsels. They love Mueller. They love these special counsels. So appoint a second special counsel to look into this corruption, the dossier, Hillary, all this stuff. Joe DiGenova, that's the guy you should nominate. Perfectly qualified. He's been a special counsel. Got a great track record. So I don't know where all this goes, but it's a mess. And it's not over yet. Now, Paige, I don't know. She avoided test. One of the reasons she avoided testifying is they're both liars. They're both corrupt. She had to wait to watch him testify to see what he said, because now they got to make sure they're on the same page and don't contradict each other. So, hey, speaking of corruption, Governor Thug there, the Governor Cuomo, you remember Joe Prococo? That's his buddy there who got convicted of bribery and all that crap. Well, now some more Cuomo guys in that upstate New York bid rigging, or whatever it was, they've been convicted. So yesterday it happened. So all these guys around Cuomo, all these people he put in there, all these people he brought in, one by one, all getting convicted. Does it hurt him? I get it. Certainly doesn't help. The thing is, most people, if you bring up Cuomo, the first word they think of is thug, corrupt politician, sleazy, pay for play. That's all they think of when they think of Cuomo. So that image is already locked in. I don't know if, so this may not have any effect. There's a couple of things you got to know about Cuomo. He's the guy that personally screwed up the subway. It's getting fixed thanks to Joe Loda and others. They've got it back on track. It's working again. But you remember, you go back 2 years, the subways weren't working for almost a year. Nothing but delays, delays, delays. That was all Cuomo. He took all the money out of the subway fund and used it to pay for some election gimmicks. Lights on bridges, toll, you know, cashless tolls, all those things. So it was the money in those subway funds that paid for everything. The stuff you need to keep the trains running, the nuts, the bolts, the fans, the pumps, all that kind of stuff. He took all that money. Now, when the subways got so bad, it looked like it was going to cost him the election in New York City. So he put the money back. Here's what's coming up next summer, although this will be after the election. And every expert agrees on this. It's Cuomo that forced the closing of Indian Point, the nuclear plant. We should have nuclear plants. Every country heavily depends on nuclear power. It's the cleanest, best way. So he shuts Indian Point. That's 25% of our energy. So next summer, when it gets into the 90s and all that, we're going to be missing 25% of our energy supply. People think next summer we will have a lot of blackouts. It'll be a major problem in New York, thanks to Cuomo. And again, he's the guy that personally screwed up the subway. Not de Blasio. It was all Cuomo. It's getting fixed now. But the mayor and him still fighting about all this.
My position is I don't want to fight. I don't want to argue. This is political banter, which people hate.
He is the phoniest politician of all. He makes de Blasio look like Winston Churchill. Cuomo, how did we end up with this thuggish governor? Anyway, I think we're stuck with it. We'll see what Cynthia Nixon can do. Hey, we'll take some calls in a minute. 800-321-0710 is the number. 800-321-0710. Some interesting restaurant stuff. We'll get to Netflix and more coming up. Check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. Now, there's certain things, you know, Donald Trump, words he always uses, like huge. You know how he uses the word wrong? Maybe you've never noticed. Watch this. It's Donald Trump using the word wrong. It's the supercut. Watch how he uses it. And then, you want to hear an incredible story about speeding and speeding tickets? And watch this. This is O.J. Simpson. He's on the David Letterman Show. An incredible story about speeding. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710WOR.
Well, let's take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Let's go to James in Brooklyn. How you doing, James?
Hi. Hey, Trump's insulting all of our allies, Germany, France.
In what way is he insulting him?
Well, he's just using basically vulgar ways of condemning their military budget. But I like to
say... wait a minute. Here's a good question. If somebody owes you money and they refuse to pay it and you ask for the money, are you insulting them?
Okay, I'll give you an example. Our good friend Israel, the United States has paid Israel's military bills for almost 50 years. We've given Israel over $500 billion. Trump would never...
Well, that's foreign aid. That's different, though. But the question. If they are all cheating us and not paying, how is that insulting them?
Well, there's a way of saying things, like I said.
Well, but wait a minute. President Obama said exactly the same things Trump said.
And if you listen closely, since Obama, they had increased their...
No, they haven't. I can put the chart up. Let's give England credit. They've been paying their fair share. Let's give Greece credit. They've been paying, but nobody else has.
Okay.
And Germany's the worst. Hey, but let me ask you a question. President Obama said exactly the same things Trump said about NATO. The only difference is Trump actually tried to collect the money.
Okay, Mark, do you think Trump would speak that way to the Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu?
Absolutely.
If he would lose all
his... Yeah, if he contracted to pay us a certain amount of money and then refused, of course he would.
Well, Obama just signed...
You know, you can just keep saying this because you want to say it, but we got robbed. You keep calling them allies. They were cheating us.
Well... Why are we giving Israel $500?
That's a different matter. There's foreign aid. That's another. You know, you could argue that you don't want to give them any money either. But we were being cheated by these allies, so I don't know how you call them allies.
Well, Israel is a wealthy...
Yes, and this will go on forever. You're just going to keep yelling Israel. I sense a little anti-Semitism in you.
It's not anti-Semitism.
It's just a fixation on Israel, I know. But again, you can keep calling them allies, but they were stiffing us and not paying. And President Obama said exactly the same things about the NATO countries that President Trump said. The only difference is every time Obama made that speech, I have it up on Twitter if you want to go look at them. Every time Obama made the speech, it was always a wink and a nod, and don't worry, I won't really try to collect the money. Let's go to Chris in West Hampton. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning. Before, when you were talking about Louis Gohmert, first of all, he's one of the good guys. And second, when he said that about stroke, they're always attacking Trump, calling him a Nazi, calling him
How do you say his name? Is it Louis Gohmert?
Yeah, Louis Gohmert. I mean, he's
a very good guy, but he's a little crude, and he's a little... his exchange yesterday was really stupid, muddied the waters.
It probably was out of place, but...
Totally out of place. I know Louis Gohmert's a good guy, not housebroken. Not housebroken. He's a bad face to put on this. He acts like a klutz in these hearings. It was a stupid exchange.
But they do it to Trump all the time.
Yeah,
they call him a Nazi and accuse him of cheating on his wife with no proof. With this,
well, that's they don't do it in the hearings though. It was if Gohmert wants to go out and say that in a speech, it's perfect. It was inappropriate in the hearings. It looks stupid.
He was proving that he was a liar. He was showing he was a liar, and if he could lie to his wife, he could lie about anything.
Well, you could say that in a better way. It's just Gohmert is so crude about it. It ended up helping. That was the one exchange that helped Strzok.
I agree, but...
Yeah, so we don't need Gohmert, or whatever his name is, messing things up. Let's go to Mark in Manhattan. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark, good morning. One quick point. Could you imagine if you were on trial or any of your listeners were on trial, and one of the potential jurors was overheard saying, "This Mark Simone, we're not going to let him get loose." Could you imagine him being selected as a juror?
No, obviously you would not be allowed in an interview. Listen, obviously Strzok, Page, McCabe, totally corrupt. You've got an IG report now, Inspector General's report, detailing that, saying that. Listen, all these, this little cabal that was operating up there will all at some point be in a lot of trouble. It could be criminal very easily. There's going to be a second special counsel at some point. You got to figure Comey's tangled up in all of this. These are all the people surrounding him on the seventh floor. That's not a coincidence. They will all, and Strzok will definitely, and he's a cocky guy. And I kept warning you, he likes to talk. He thinks he can talk his way out of anything. He revealed too many things in there. He accidentally slipped and revealed where the dossier was from. There's going to be a big price he's going to have to pay for some of that testimony. Let's go to Paul in Warwick. Hey, Paul.
Hi, I'm calling regarding the four convicted in Buffalo billion case.
Yes.
Tax suspend Cuomo came out and said the jury has spoken and justice has been done.
Wait a minute. Forget the tax and spend Cuomo. That's the least of his troubles. Guy's a thug, yeah. A corrupt thug.
But don't you think he'll pardon these fellas?
Well, he can't do that before election. He's got to pretend he doesn't really know them. It's like Prococo. Well, I didn't really know the guy. Everybody around him is a corrupt, bribing, thieving, thuggish. Listen, this governor, nice guy in real life, in his job, a total pay-for-play, Tammany Hall, corrupt politician. Not that he's putting it in his pocket, but Tammany Hall is back, and it's time to get rid of it again.
Mark Simone
on the Voice of New York,
710 WOR.
Well, Roger Friedman runs this great website, showbiz411.com. You should check this every day. Great stories. Showbiz411.com. Roger Friedman, how you doing?
I'm doing great because they're making the Downton Abbey movie.
Yeah, I got to be honest. The excitement level with me and not too. Downton Abbey, the movie. Isn't there enough Downton Abbey?
Nope. People wanted a movie to wrap it all up. And now we're going to get one. They just announced it this morning. And the whole cast is coming back. Maggie Smith, everybody. And that's going to be a hit. I mean, that's got to be
well, it's very popular. Who made Downton Abbey? Was that
Carnival Films in London made it. And it was shown here on PBS.
Yeah.
And Universal Films and Focus Features are going to make the movie.
But, you know, remember Entourage? It was so successful, and then they did the movie, and it didn't work as a movie.
No, because Entourage didn't have, there was no show there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, it was just, you know, these guys who were, you know, trying to get action and having fun. There wasn't really a point to it. And this has such a, you know, huge, there's so many different stories, and, you know, it has a moral and a historical impact, and it's going to be great.
All right, well, that's big news.
So that's pretty exciting. And last night I went to see the new Robin Williams documentary that's debuting this weekend on HBO.
And how is it?
It's a terrific film. For the first time, Robin's first wife speaks, and she is very nice because, you know, the story always was that he ran off with the nanny and left the first wife. And, you know, the nanny, then he had two children with the nanny, and she was his second wife for a very long time. But now the first wife says that it's not true, that they had already decided to divorce. And it was a year later that he hired the nanny to be his assistant, and then they started seeing each other. So that's a big deal. And
God bless him, but he was a weird guy.
But so talented. And this movie shows so many clips and home movies and stand-up appearances from the 70s that we never saw. Even after Mork and Mindy was over, we forget that when Mork and Mindy ended, he didn't go right into a movie career. There was like a period where he didn't know what he was going to do, and it wasn't clear if he was going to fit into movies. And he went back on the road. So there's a ton of stuff about that. And also, you know, we also forget that he got into a bad spot in Hollywood with drinking and drugs, and he was with John Belushi the night he died.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is all brought out, and he actually was the celebrity witness at the inquest for Belushi's death.
Hmm.
So a lot of that is brought up that we haven't heard in a long time. The only thing I'm sorry about is that they didn't say the movie does not cover his great friendship with Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
And when Christopher Reeve was paralyzed in his horseback riding accident, Robin Williams literally flew from wherever he was to Reeve's bedside in Virginia at the hospital where he was, all sort of trussed up, and they didn't know how they were going to operate on him. And Christopher Reeve said in his book, he wanted to die. And then into his room came Robin Williams dressed as a doctor with a German accent, and he was snapping, blue gloves. And with the accent, he said, I'm here to examine you. And Christopher Reeve said later, that's what saved his life.
Hmm.
But so they don't get into all of that, but it's a very, very good film and very funny. And it was an interesting night because I'll tell you who was there. John Voight came as a guest last night, and I had a long talk with him about the Roe versus Wade movie.
Oh, I'm sorry I missed that. That sounds like a fascinating conversation. You and John Voight discussing Roe v. Wade. I would love to hear that.
Well, you know about this movie? This is a secret movie coming from the conservative point of view, sort of against Roe v. Wade. It has a lot of famous Hollywood conservatives in it.
Oh. But
yeah.
Roe v. Wade is here to stay. Roe v. Wade is not going anywhere. I don't know why anybody even mentions it anymore. Nothing's ever going to happen to Roe v. Wade. It's fine.
Yeah, I hope so. I think you're right.
It's no, they use that talking point for 45 years now that this could be the end of Roe v. Wade. It's 45 years of saying that. It's not going anywhere. It's just fine.
Even though I heard that one of the considerations for the Supreme Court justice was Aaron Judge.
Well, he is the judge. Hey, I know what I want to ask you.
Yeah.
The last time I saw you was at the John Gotti movie premiere.
Oh, yes.
We thought that was pretty good. It's a disjointed, crazy movie, but the scenes were good and the acting was good. What happened with that movie? Is it over now?
Yeah, that movie is over. It ended mostly, I don't think you can find it here in New York. It's down to just a handful of theaters, like five or six theaters in the country. It made about $4.3 million. It's the lowest.
$4.3 million a day?
No, $4.3 million totally for 28 days.
What?
That's what it made, totally. And it only got released in one foreign country. I don't know why, but Hungary was the country.
So what happens to it now?
It made $10 in Buda and $10 in Pest.
So where does it go now? Does it go to...
It goes to DVD and it goes to your cable box.
But does somebody pick it up, like Netflix or Hulu or something? Or
no, I don't think they're going to... I don't know if they're going to pick it up. They might. It might turn up on Netflix. Everything's on Netflix. But, it's just going to play out. And no more. It's the lowest grossing John Travolta movie since 1995.
He was very good in that movie, though. It was a sloppy movie, but it was good.
John Travolta's new thing is, I say, he acts with his chin.
Yeah.
He did that also playing Robert Shapiro in the O.J. Simpson movie.
All right, that's true.
But Gotti is sleeps with the fishes.
Now here's the big thing. Megyn Kelly, this is a total disaster.
Oh, my God.
What is NBC next step with this Megyn Kelly disaster, and why is
they're
still
giving her more airtime.
What?
More airtime. It's not enough. I don't know why. Maybe she's blackmailing someone. I don't know. Maybe she has a lot of Comcast stock. I don't know. I cannot stand her. It's like chalk on a blackboard, screeching. And, her daytime show gets no ratings. That Kelly Ripa is just killing her. And on the other hand, it's Judge Judy has a syndicated show with the three judges. That kills her. So no one's watching that thing. And now they're going to give her a special in August, and they're saying in addition to that, that she's going to turn up from time to time this fall and in the winter at night, besides the daytime show.
Because she makes that Gotti movie look like a hit.
I don't know. Yeah. I wish she would get whacked. I don't understand why we don't have a referendum in New York on the ballot to get rid of her.
You know what it is? I think this is what it is. Remember when Conan O'Brien took over The Tonight Show? It was a total disaster.
Total disaster. Then they stick with the disaster.
Well, but it cost $40 million to buy out the contract, but they paid it. They just had to get this disaster off the air. But that was years ago. Networks don't have that kind of money. They don't have these budgets anymore. So I think they just can't afford to buy her out anymore.
And things are so bad, by the way, that it was two mornings ago that I actually watched this. Savannah Guthrie was forced to go on the show with her in the first part of her show. Savannah Guthrie looked like a hostage who had been taken by Megyn Kelly, but she was forced to go from the regular Today Show to Megyn's show to help push up the ratings a little bit.
Yeah, most
I doubt that it worked.
Most celebrities won't do the show, and the PR firms will not put guests on there, so they're forcing NBC people to go on the show. And you know they can't get a studio audience every day. They can't fill the seats. So
no.
They force NBC employees to go sit in the seats.
You know, the show's from 9 to 10, and your show goes on at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think you and I should go over, at least for the first half hour, and sit in the audience.
I don't think so.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Hey, she's never too happy to see me. I don't know. hey, what's the deal with Paul Simon? He's got a new album?
You know, so if you're a certain age and like a certain kind of classic rock, circle September 7th, because on that day we have new albums from Paul Simon and Paul McCartney, both aged 76. I am looking forward to it. Are you?
No, why can't these guys, you know, God bless Paul McCartney.
All new songs from Paul McCartney.
He does this every 2 years. Here's all new songs. Not one of them has worked in 10 years. Stop.
Oh, no,
he's
had some great songs.
No, he hasn't.
Oh, and I'll bet they're terrific. And Paul Simon, I'll tell you what Paul Simon's done. Paul Simon has gone back into his massive catalog of songs and picked out 10 songs that he loved but weren't hits. And has re-recorded them, and it's like a whole new album of lost gems. One of them is a song I always loved called One Man's Ceiling is Another Man's Floor, and he's been doing it in concert lately. I hope it's terrific.
Yeah, but whenever they do this, oh, here's five unreleased songs. There's a reason they were unreleased.
No, these weren't unreleased. These were released.
Oh, but they were released,
they were
and
gems.
They didn't go anywhere.
They were like lost gems.
They didn't work then. They're not going to work now.
Oh, they're going to work. They're going to be great.
When he was hot, they didn't work.
But now what I'm excited about is, you know, Paul Simon's finishing up his touring career and his live shows. And his last one is September 22nd in Forest Hills.
Which is where Simon and Garfunkel were a big hit.
Where they started, where they lived and where they started.
Yeah.
And I think there are two shows at Madison Square Garden two nights before, and then it ends in Queens. And, of course, the big expectation is that in Queens we'll have Garfunkel come back as a surprise guest, which I'm hoping will happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Those two guys don't seem to like each other.
They don't get along, but they know when they're together it's magic, and how could they not
that's true.
Finish up together? So that'll be very exciting. And it happens to be the anniversary from 1981 of the famous Simon and Garfunkel in Central Park concert. It's the same weekend.
Oh, okay. So maybe they got some kind of deal to record it and do something with
it. Yeah, I have a feeling they will. So that's really great if you're our age and younger, because I think the younger people should come and hear all the Simon and Garfunkel songs.
All right. Well, Roger Freeman, you had some great news for us. That's good stuff. And everybody should check showbiz411.com every day.
Downton Abbey is coming back.
That's the big news.
I heard you're going to play a butler.
Yeah, right. I want to be on Entourage. That's my Downton Abbey. showbiz411.com. Check it. It's a great website. Roger Friedman, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Take care. Oh, and everybody check out our webpage. We always put up great videos every day. Donald Trump, there's certain words, you know, he always uses, certain phrases. But do you know how he uses the word wrong? Watch this supercut of him using the word wrong. You'll see how much he relies on that word. Also, you want to see O.J. Simpson. He's on with David Letterman. This is an amazing story about speeding. I mean, I've heard some stories about speeding tickets, but watch this one. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com, then go over to the Mark Simone page. Or you can just go to 710WOR.com/Mark.